Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. The drug of the day today is going to be hydralazine. Brand name is Apresiline. And this drug is frequently, well, I would say more infrequently used in hypertension. And I will talk about, you know, why it isn't, you know, one of the mainstays of lowering blood pressure. But first, touch on the mechanism of action here. Mechanism of action is pretty simple in that it directly stimulates the arterioles to dilate. So if you remember, if you think of, you know, pipes, and if we open up a pipe, if we make it bigger, that's going to reduce pressure, which obviously I said this medication can be used for blood pressure lowering purposes. So hypertension's a big one that this drug is used for. Off-label, it also can be used, and I have seen this before, it can be used in combination with isosorbide dinitrate or nitrates in reduced ejection fraction heart failure. So that's another situation where you might see it. Preferentially, ACE inhibitors and ARBs are going to be preferred in heart failure, but there may be certain situations where patients don't respond to ACEs or ARBs, and or maybe they don't tolerate. So obviously, if they don't tolerate it, hydralazine, again in combo with a nitrate, may be a possible option there. And then one other situation that comes up sometimes is patients of African descent, blacks, may not respond as well to the blood pressure lowering effect of ACE inhibitors and ARBs through that system and pathway. So hydralazine in combination in those heart failure patients may be utilized in that situation as well. I may be able to use this medication in an emergency type situations, or maybe one of the options, particularly in pregnancy. So that's a thing to remember there as well. Now, why isn't this drug used very often? The biggest reason why because it is available orally, but it's not used because it's dosed so frequently. So if you think about, you know, a drug like hydralazine being dosed 3 to 4 times a day, for patient adherence considerations, that's not a very user-friendly drug. So we're going to utilize, you know, our once-a-day calcium channel blockers, our once-a-day ACE inhibitors, and medications of that nature, rather than a drug that we've got to dose 3 to 4 times a day. Because in my experience and working with patients, they just forget. It's often hard to remember and work that into your schedule, taking a drug 3 to 4 times throughout the day. And, you know, the reason being with this, talking about the pharmacokinetics of a drug, it does have a pretty short half-life. And that's always a good rule of thumb that I teach. If you think about a drug with a really short half-life, you're probably going to have to dose it more frequently. If a drug has a really long half-life, you're probably not going to have to dose it as often. So just kind of a general rule of thumb that isn't always 100% true. But if you know that a drug is dosed more often, generally it's probably going to have a shorter half-life. Getting into adverse effects with hydralazine, common adverse effects you're going to see is any drug that opens up those vessels, that drops blood pressure. We can obviously drop blood pressure too far. So keeping an eye out for lightheadedness, dizziness, syncope-type reactions, maybe fall risk in our geriatric patient population, that's going to be a very important thing to monitor for with the use of hydralazine. Headaches might be maybe a little bit more common adverse effect as well. Sometimes that happens with various blood pressure medications. So those are a couple of common ones to think about anyway. There's one really unique one that I've definitely been tested on before with hydralazine. And hydralazine can uniquely cause, create, or exacerbate in some patient a lupus-type reaction. So if you remember lupus, that's like an autoimmune type disorder. And what to look out for there, some of the symptoms that may be prevalent with this type of reaction. You may see fever, you may see arthritis type symptoms, muscle aches, pain associated with the use of this medication. Again, very, very rare reaction. And this is a dose-dependent reaction as well. So as you push the dose, as you get to higher doses of using this medication, this generally becomes more likely. So again, not very common, but definitely something to be aware of if you've got a patient reporting some of those symptoms I mentioned, and they are on hydralazine. We always want to make sure we're ruling out drug adverse effects before we give a patient a new diagnosis. With that lupus type reaction, you may see labs checked to kind of identify if this is what's going on. And this lab may be done in lupus as well, but I have seen an ANA tested before. So that's an anti-nuclear antibody. And this can be positive or elevated if a patient is having this type of reaction. So that is one lab you may see drawn, or again, maybe one of those things that comes up on a pharmacology test question or pharmacotherapy or whatever exam you're taking there. So good little clinical quirk to remember there. Let's take a quick break from our sponsor. And after that, we'll get into drug interactions. If you're looking for excellent test prep material for BCPS, your geriatrics exam, your ambulatory care exam, or the NAPLEX, if you're a pharmacy student looking to get that pharmacist license, head over to meded101.com/store, and you can find all the resources we have there. In addition to test prep material, we've also got books on clinical pearls and real life practice situations that can be really, really helpful for growing your clinical skill set, and certainly can be helpful for PAs, nurse practitioners, med students, physicians, all sorts of healthcare professionals that encounter medications and really need to understand how to use medications appropriately and safely. So meded101.com/store, go check out the list of resources we have there. All right, finishing up on drug interactions. With hydralazine, there aren't a ton of really notable drug interactions with any blood pressure medication. Obviously, I think about other meds that can lower blood pressure. That's kind of a common sense type of thing. So oftentimes we're using hydralazine maybe with a calcium channel blocker or something of that nature in patients that need multiple blood pressure lowering medications, so that can certainly happen. But we've got to keep in mind, when we add on more blood pressure lowering medications, we run the risk of dropping that too far and getting into dizziness and orthostasis and things of that nature. So other blood pressure lowering drugs, think about that. And not just specifically the antihypertensives. You know, I think about Sinemet, you know, drug for Parkinson's, that can drop blood pressure. The PDE5 inhibitors, so example there, sildenafil, brand name Viagra. So those are a couple of good examples there. Drugs that can really cause significant syncope, or, you know, kind of those passing out type episodes. You got to remember the alpha blockers. Those can really drop blood pressure quickly. And obviously, if used in combination with a drug like hydralazine, vasodilator type medication, that can really drop that blood pressure to a significant amount. And then the other thing I'm going to cover with drug interactions here is, remember that opposite effect, drugs that can oppose the blood pressure lowering effect from hydralazine. So I think of, you know, drugs like stimulants, you know, maybe like Adderall and things of that nature. NSAIDs are another example of medication that can kind of impact blood pressure in a positive direction, as far as positive meaning higher So that could potentially oppose the blood pressure lowering effect of hydralazine as well. So those are just a few kind of opposition and similar type effect drug interactions that you're going to have with hydralazine. Other than those, there really aren't a ton of drug interactions where concentrations are raised of hydralazine or hydralazine impacts other concentrations of drugs. So really, it's kind of those additive or opposing type drug interactions that I covered there. So that's going to wrap it up for today. If you enjoy the podcast, leave us a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It's incredibly appreciative. You can find me at LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, pharmacist. If you'd like to connect with me, feel free to track me down there. Snag your free top 200 PDF simply for subscribing to the website. You get alerted to when we've basically got a new podcast out as well. So absolutely of no cost to you, and just a little resource if you're potentially preparing for a board exam, or if you're looking to share something maybe with a student who's studying for exams or something like that. It can be a really, really helpful tool. So go check that out, reallifepharmacology.com. Also, contact me there if you've questions, comments, all sorts of stuff like that. So sign off for today. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast and picked up a pearl or two today. Take care. Thanks for listening.